Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Conversations with Spirit with your host, Matthew J. In today's show, you can contact Matthew by calling 760-283-4611 or prefix 001-760-283-4611 or connect on Skype for free. And now, here's your host, Matthew J.
Hello and welcome again to Conversations with Spirit 2. It's 8 o'clock here in Canberra in the ACT in Australia. I am your host, Matthew James. I am a medium and clairvoyant. I have got two very respected guests in the studio with me this evening. I've got my resident guest, who is Sharon Tunbridge, and I also have a really, really good psychic medium in his own right, Tony Davis from Brisbane, also in the studio with us. Now, people who listened to Conversations with Spirit 2 last week will know it's slightly different from the Conversations with Spirit show that actually goes out on a Monday night, 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock in the UK, which is 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. here in the ACT. And this is more a discussion on psychic matters, on the paranormal. We pick subjects each week to actually talk about. And we do encourage live callers. There is a guest call-in number. It's 760-283-4611, which I believe is a US number. But if you go on the Conversations with Spirit page link, there is a blue Skype button and you can Skype in. And obviously Skype is free of charge. You obviously can come into the caller list. We can then take your call live to discuss psychic matters. Now, we will do live readings as well if that is what you actually require. But the idea of this particular show is to talk about spiritual matters. I mean, last week we talked about psychic defense. We talked a little bit in general about the psychic senses, the clairaudience, the clairvoyance, the claircognizance. Now, to find out some more details about myself, Matthew James, go over to my webpage, which is www.matthewjamesmedium.com. I do a lot of what I call intensive mediumship training. I do a lot of self-development mentoring. I am actually available for this on a one-to-one and also in workshops as well. I've got a couple of workshops that are actually coming up. There's one that is being planned, I believe, at the beginning of June here in Canberra. It's the art of pathworking and creative visualization. Pathworking is very, very, it's about the Kabbalah, it's about the Tree of Life. It's a high magic facility or discipline that up to about 30 years ago reappeared in the public arena. Prior to that, you had to be in like a Golden Dawn secret society to be able to do the pathworking. But for about the last 30 years, it's become available to students of the occult. And it is a way of reprogramming the brain, reprogramming the subconscious. It's a way of accessing the inner worlds. And it is a highly recommended means of relaxation as well. Now, without further ado, I would like to introduce my two guests. I would like to introduce my resident guest, Sharon Tunbridge. Hello, Sharon.
Hello, Matthew. How are you tonight?
I am really good. You can see I'm quite chatty this evening, and you'll be chatty as well, I imagine.
I'll try not to be too chatty, but loving your energy tonight.
That's fine. And my other guest in the other seat is Tony Davis from Brisbane. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Matthew. How are you?
Good. Now, I know before the show, Tony, you did express that you were a little bit nervous about the event this evening. I can fully understand that. I remember when I first went on the radio, it's a bit of the unknown. But I can assure you that between me and Sharon, we will look after you this evening.
I'm sure you will.
Do you want to just Sorry, Sharon.
So it's probably going to be fighting for a word in edgeways.
We probably will. We probably will. So, Tony, do you want to just let people quickly know who Tony Davis is, where you're from, and what your specialist subjects are in the psychic field?
Well, my name's Tony Davis. I'm from Brisbane in Queensland. I call myself a psychic medium. And I've been doing, I guess I haven't been doing it for too long. I probably realised my potential about 3 years ago. And I've really started to ramp up my readings, my psychic readings and medium readings in the last year and a half, 2 years. And I probably realised that there was something going on about 15. And not knowing what to do with that, I didn't really tap into it. So it wasn't until 3 years ago I went to my first spiritual development group, weekly meditation group, and tapped into what I was capable of with that.
Now, as I was saying explaining to Sharon, I was saying to Tony just in our green room before the show actually starts. Tony was a participant in a mechanics of mediumship and self awareness workshop that I did in Brisbane a few months back, and some of his messages were that accurate. I've got to say it was scary, and that I'm saying that as a big compliment. Your mediumship, Tony, is exemplary, Dan. I know you probably won't be able to take that compliment, but it was exemplary. I was highly impressed. So I know that you are the real deal. I just wanted just obviously listeners to know that we've got ourselves a quality medium on board this evening as well.
Well, thanks, Matthew. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and such a strong recommendation from Matthew James is quite mind-blowing. It's very rare. Sorry, Matthew, but very, very rare. And I think you've been able to say that.
Yeah, because, I mean, all three of us, whether I'm in Canberra, Tony's in Brisbane, and Polly's in... you don't mind me calling you Polly, do you, Sharon?
No, my professional working name is Polly.
Okay, because I don't know which. Do we use you or do we use your alter ego tonight? Because I don't know whether you're going to be reading.
I think they both pop in, but it's just been one of those things. Polly's been the working name.
Okay.
I don't know why it was given to me. It's
well,
a very
I know why.
No idea, but that's what Spirit decided to call me.
But anyway,
perhaps they don't like Sharon originally from Essex with white stilettos. I don't know. Never had the answer.
Right. Anyway, we've got Polly in Auckland. We've got Tony in Brisbane. We've got me in Canberra, and we all share this common aghastment and shock and surprise at what I call the plastic psychics out there. And I know genuine ones are few and far between, sadly, at the moment. And I always endeavour to get the genuine ones, the ones free of ego, on the shows that I work with, because it makes such a good energy and it is such a good means of communication for the people who call in.
Mm.
And that's my soapbox over with, because I know you both know it's one of my pet subjects. I don't like the false ones.
Absolutely. And it's not about self-promotion, Matthew, in this line of work. And it's jolly hard work too. It's very tiring. It's definitely about remaining true to yourself, keeping a check on that ego, definitely. And above all, we're supposed to be servants. We are supposed to be delivering information and help to people that need it. That's our mission in life. That's our soul path.
What people need to visualize is that there are three iPhones talking to them over the radio, because that's all we are. We're telephones. Or that's all we should be, is telephones.
Sometimes the wires get crossed, as you well know.
Oh, God, yeah. You get a bad signal, or you get the wrong person calling in, or you get someone conferencing in your mind, and you get the wrong information.
Or the hijackers. I always enjoy reading with a nice, strong spirit who likes to hijack the entire reading, talk all about themselves, deliver no messages to your caller or client whatsoever. But you end up having a nice conversation, I guess.
That's right. What about the stone cold skeptic, right, who was stone cold skeptic in life, and they come through as a stone cold skeptic and they completely disrupt the reading?
Does happen.
There's nothing more annoying.
Have you experienced that, Tony?
I had. I did a reading on the weekend, and I had a bit of the first reading I did at this expo was at. She wasn't fully skeptic, but she just, this particular client wasn't, I didn't feel leaving themselves open. They didn't come in with a fully open mind. And when it came to asking them if they wanted anyone to come through, they were quite clear that they didn't want anyone to come through at all. So, and a grandfather figure started to come through, and I just felt like, you know, they were being denied. And to me, there was a little bit of skepticism there. But I've had other clients where, you know, they've come in skeptics. And I think I like to think that when they've left, they've changed their mind a bit.
I think that's one of the biggest jobs that we actually do. I mean, okay, I personally present the work that I do with an open mind, and I embrace the people who are into the subjects. I embrace the people who are skeptical. But as far as I'm concerned, it's not our job to force what we do on anybody, but it is to present a different perspective or a different angle, or say, hey, hang on a minute, this is what I've got for you. You go away and you think about this.
Mm,
yeah, no, I totally agree. And it can be a little frustrating when you have a very demanding spirit on one side wanting to deliver a message and an unreceptive human on the other side not quite wanting to either believe or test the authenticity of the reading.
That's right.
And we end up getting caught, I don't know about you, Matthew and Tony, but if you get caught in the middle of that crossfire, duck.
Just duck
and let them get on with it.
That's right. Something was just springing to mind, and I know it's, I don't always remember experiences, but I know we used to do a lot of our own expos in the UK. We would hire a pub or a hotel, we'd do our own advertising, and there'd be four of us that would be doing readings. And I believe I was in somewhere like St. Helens, and there was this guy apparently had been nagging Chris, the wife, who was on the door, and she was the one that was bringing the people in, that he wanted a reading, and he wanted a reading all day, and he wanted a reading all day. Then he would book, and then he'd dodge the bullet. He didn't want to do it, and then he wanted to do it. And he admitted he was totally stone-cold skeptic. And I was packing up at about 11 o'clock at night, and this guy sat down. He was obviously drunk. He had his pint on the table, and he just said, right, prove it to me. And all I remember thinking was, this guy's a total skeptic. How can I deal with it? Next minute, his mate's coming through with the pint that they discussed, that whoever went first was going to come back with the pint and mention the pint. The guy nearly fell off the chair. And I remember in my comments book him saying, no longer a skeptic.
Brilliant.
And his friend had come straight through, told me what he died of, how he died, what had happened, and they'd made this agreement that, hey, there's no such thing as a spirit world, but, hey, what we'll do is, if you go before me, you're going to come back and mention the pint, or I'm going to mention the pint, and I apparently came straight out with it.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, you do get a lot of, when you're in the readings with people, I find, how do you know that? How can you possibly know that? Who told you this?
This is the classic... Sorry, Tony, I couldn't.
It's like, where do you get that information from? Well, I'm psychic.
Good answer, Tony.
Well, the classic one was I was doing a series of readings out in the wilds of New South Wales, somewhere like Merriwaga or Goolgowie or somewhere like that a couple of years back. And there was one guy saying, it's quite amazing the things you can actually find on the internet these days. So basically all you do is you go on the internet and you get all these details. But bear in mind, I don't know the day before who the hell's coming to me for readings. All I get is the first name. How am I supposed to go on the internet and trawl all this information, rake up relations that are like died 100 years ago that is not going to be on the internet?
Yeah, describe their whole life history and everything around the life history. Yeah, exactly.
So how are you supposed to do that? That's people for you. Anyway, let's have our first discussion of the night. And I know it's one that you suggested, Sharon, and it's a bloody good one. It's the term psychic. Now, you sort of, I know you PM'd me this on Facebook a couple of days ago, and it was a question, where does the term psychic come from, and can everyone do it?
Absolutely.
So, Sharon, since you posed this question, you can do the starter for 10. What's your take on the word psychic?
Why, thank you, Matthew. Thank you for dumping me in it.
It's okay.
My personal belief is that everybody has a psychic ability. I don't actually know what the word psychic means, but it's probably some Greek, or I'm sure you know the correct analysis of the word psychic.
I knew you would. Across as brain box. I didn't want to come as the all-knowing, all-seeing one. I just thought...
We don't call you the guru for nothing, dear.
Yeah, well, psychic comes from psyche, which means self. So psychic to me means from self, which means you're getting the information from the other person, which technically for me means it's in their energy field. So you're getting their energy, you're interpreting their energy. Okay. That's my take on it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of look at... if we take the word psychic, I mean, if we go back to when we started, which was quite a few years ago, and we're going back 30, 40 years, you have to remember it was something that you almost had to hide because you were treated as a weirdo, a charlatan, wrongdoer. It didn't have a great feeling out there. People were very, very scared of what is a natural ability. And I believe everybody has that natural ability. And I also believe that it is our birthright as human beings. And quite frankly, without it, I don't think any of us would have evolved.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I mean, we need to be massively intuitive from day to day just to survive. So I think this whole thing about psychic ability has been slowly over the years brought to the surface. And as we know today, every other person is a professional psychic these days.
Unquote professionals,
yeah. But if we look at it, I guess to me it's like looking, it's like being an athlete. Some people are really good at running, some are good at jumping, some are rubbish and very slow, but we all have the ability to move. And I think it's the same with intuition and psychic ability. However, like an athlete, if you train, you're going to be better. What do you think?
That's very true. What do you reckon, Tony? What's your take on psychic?
I totally agree with what Sharon has said. I believe everyone has the ability. We're all born with it, aren't we?
Well, 100%.
Yeah.
Everybody's born with a right brain, and if you've got a right brain, you've got psychic ability.
I mean, I've got a 2-year-old daughter, and I just look at her, and I can tell that she's quite switched on. Like she's quite intuitive, and I hope we can nurture that and. You know, it'll be up to her as she gets older if she taps into it. And it just, like Sharon said, it comes down to practice. The more you work at it, the more you delve into it, the better you become.
That's right.
Finding the right tools to enhance your natural ability and not being afraid of it. And that's another thing. It's only been in the last, 5-10 years, we've had all these really dramatic psychic shows and really dramatic spooky shows that put the fear of God into most people. Anyone out there who's listening who believes being a psychic means you're going to see really scary, yucky, nasty, dark and horrid evil things, probably should stop watching the television programs because it's not like that, very rarely.
Very rarely, yeah. What I was actually going to say was that, in fact, I've forgotten what I was going to say now. I was going to actually go on to the realms of telepathy and psychic and telepathy and ESP being very much the same thing. Mm-hmm. Anybody who thinks that human beings aren't psychic or aren't telepathic, well, I would just basically put two fingers up to them because you look in nature, you've got ants who are telepathic, you've got birds who are telepathic, you've got other creatures on the planet who are telepathic and they clearly communicate to each other without words, right? You've got those and their DNA is virtually identical to ours, meaning that if they've got a telepathic faculty in their DNA, so have we. And the difference between them and us is that we've gone through an education system or we're in a human society that discourages right brainness and using the right brain.
But absolutely.
As far as I'm concerned, every single person that's on this planet who has an active right brain is telepathic, is psychic, but they are brought into a planet where you're taught to be separate. Disconnected from everybody.
Oh, gosh, couldn't agree more, Matt. Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
And what we're doing, and we're doing the mentoring and the training, is we're putting through people through boot camps and putting them round the equivalent to circuit training. Instead of actually pumping up the muscles, you're pumping up your psychic senses. And what you're doing is you're making people disregard all that babble and chatter that the left brain is teaching you, all that instinct and survival and the fear about the mortgage. That shrouds the psychic ability. You switch that left brain off or you teach somebody to disregard that left brain. What you're left with is the right brain. And in that right brain is where all the switches and all the controls for psychic ability is. And then when I state that almost on a 100% that I can prove it in that I've had students walk into the house. I've got 100% success rate. in that I've got people coming into the house who've come straight out of a government meeting, never done this sort of thing before. I put them through the boot camp paces, and within 15 minutes, they're either telling me what's in an envelope when we're doing remote viewing, or they're telling me that we've got such and such a friend who died in a car accident. His name's Arthur. He wore a hat and he did this, 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 this within 15 minutes. And they've never done it before in their lives. Which proves to me, under what I class as laboratory conditions, that everybody has psychic ability.
Definitely.
Completely. And it's, you hit on it there. I mean, it's actually can be scientifically proven as well. There's been plenty of studies out there on the brain when it's in a meditative state, and how meditations, for example, then give the brain better control over the processing of pain, emotions, be more susceptible to picking up the small little frequency that we live in, where we are sort of completely surrounded by really strange frequencies being bombarded all the time, aren't we?
We certainly are.
And some of those frequencies are delivering really important messages for our survival, or
that's
messages
right.
from those that have passed that want to communicate with us.
That's right.
But these are, literally, psychological science studies, definitely body awareness, self-awareness, regulation of emotion, regulation of tension. And to me, it all comes back to one thing. Stay in the present moment, be focused.
Live in the now.
And be aware. Just be aware.
That's right. All three of us, when we do readings, right, and we sit in the same room, or you're on the same phone, or we sit at the same table, we're doing the same thing under laboratory conditions, right? To be able to make something scientific proven, it states that you have to do the same thing under the same conditions and get the same results a certain number of times for it to be scientific proof. So my argument is right, You sit on your phone, Tony will probably sit in his room, I sit at my reading table, right, and I get clients sitting on the same chair at the same table, I go through the same procedure, I get the same kind of evidence week in, week out, day in, day out, same evidence, same sort of information to total strangers. Isn't that scientific proof?
Absolutely. Well, the military certainly don't have a problem utilizing remote viewing and other psychic abilities. The military.
Any mediums and clairvoyants who are listening at the minute, professional clairvoyants and mediums, just think about it for a minute. You're regularly getting clients coming to you. You're regularly giving them information, validatory information, information that they take away with them that is better in their lives, giving proof to the other side, and you're doing it under the same conditions every time you read. To me, that means that's scientifically provable. It's scientifically proven that you are connecting with either the other side or using psychic ability.
Absolutely.
So when you see all these skeptics,
thank you, BST.
Yeah, all these skeptic sites and all these places that basically say there's no such thing as psychic ability, it can't be scientifically proven, I basically put two fingers up to them and say, well, you want to sit in the rooms that some of us psychics work and see it on a daily basis, day in, day out, day in, week in, month after month, year after year. There's your proof.
Can I just add, for any beginners out there, Matthew, it comes down to this type of work, and I struggled with it in the beginning. It comes down to trusting yourself and trusting what you get as well. Don't second guess yourself. Like, if the information you're getting from spirit, or whether it's the psychic part of you working, I find you just give that information.
That's right. It all boils down to that thing that I sort of, you probably see, I was emphasizing in the workshop that we did. It's that go with your gut, say that first thing. I always say
that's
the
right.
Most important thing is the art of knowing, what I call the art of knowing, the claircognizance, knowing when you're right. And the only way that you can know when you're right is actually to get it wrong, if that sounds crazy.
Oh.
Because how it feels when you get it wrong. So when you get it right, it feels different.
Yeah, definitely.
Got to face that fear of getting it wrong. It's the only way that you have a comparison that you know, hey, when I get the information that way, I feel like that. That's right.
Yeah. And facing that fear, you're now talking about the ego.
That is correct.
Taking
which is
ego
which
out
is
of
the
it.
Left brain. I mean, we go mm-hmm. into the Jungian, we go into the inner critic, we go into the separate self, and the separate self basically does not want you to grow. I mean, we're going to the old Atlantean belief of the selfish separate self. It doesn't want you to grow, and it will do its utmost to deceive you. It doesn't want to be killed. It doesn't want to be shot down.
And there's a lot of elements of society that don't want us to grow too.
Well, isn't that a representation of the shadow or of the ego in the human collective? All the ones that are fearful of this, this is on a collective level, all the what we call the elite or the Illuminati or the shining ones or the ones who are trying to stop this ability really being accepted. Doesn't that represent the false ego or the inner critic of our collective?
Absolutely, and a lot to lose. If we, you know, heaven above, if we all started loving each other, being kind to each other, and just coexisting peacefully, it would kind of have a bit of a meltdown effect, I think, in society. Especially if we all started growing our own food and hugging trees. So
I think
not really conducive to the upper level.
It's like I've said to Chris, to my wife, that everybody's got this belief system, and all three of us know those belief systems are wrong, and people are hugging those belief systems and gripping them tightly to fear.
Mm.
I've always said, you take that belief system away, how are they going to cope if they haven't got a belief system? You've got to transplant another belief system to them for them to grip.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be done in stages. So, I mean, I know we're going into this 2012 to 2018 ascension period here. And people I know on Facebook and then in people that I talk to, why is it not happening quickly? Why is it not happening overnight? Because it's got to be done gradually. And it's got to be done in a format that you're not aware it's happening until you've arrived at your destination and you look back and you realize, I've gone through the ascension process. It's not an overnight thing.
Absolutely. And I think as professional psychics, sometimes we forget that others are at the very, very, very beginning of their journey and are looking for those signposts right from the beginning, the sort of things that obviously you teach, Matthew, and maybe some of the listeners here would be interested in hearing about, is how do you get started? How do you start to tune into your inner soul or your psychic ability? Where would be a good place to start?
Meditation.
I'm putting my hand up here, but I know you've got the answer.
Yeah, you've got to do it as meditation. You've got to understand the basic principles of yourself. It's all about finding out about your own psyche. It's finding out about your own self. I mean, if you don't know your own self, then how can you work with other people?
Absolutely. Yeah, so if you're going to write a book, say, about psychic development, I think mine would be pay attention. That's where it starts. Start paying attention to yourself right now, this minute. And start paying attention to what's going on around you. Be mindful. And I guess this is where the Buddhists, etc., are coming from with the intensive meditations, isn't it, Matthew?
That's right. Well, I mean, I use the observant mind, as Tony will tell you. I use mindfulness. Now, I know I'm getting shot down in flames on the chat room that, what is it, Matt, you are digressing again. Poor Tony can't get a word in. So, Tony, from your side of things, having experienced that workshop, and you know that I use mindfulness, what was your experience of mindfulness and the observant mind?
I've got to cast my memory back now.
What? You're not using it on a daily basis?
I had a chat with someone this morning about this. There's another way, a technique that I use where I take all the energy within my auric field and just take it down into my stomach And I just hold on to that for a second, and then I just let it all go and push it all out. Just be aware of what I'm bringing in, and just pushing all that out, and just clearing my mind, ready for any other new information I'm ready to see, whether it be, you know, for a new client that I'm about to do a reading for, or whatever, going into a meditation, just letting go of all that. So it's sort of like rebooting, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. I mean, everybody has their own technique. This is one thing that I do stress. I don't force a technique on anybody. I personally use mindfulness, and mindfulness is really all about getting in that mode where your mind is completely clear. You don't have that mind chatter. I mean, this is why sometimes I struggle with doing live radio, or I struggle holding a conversation, because I'm not formulating or getting an idea of what I'm going to talk about, because my mind is completely clear. It's an inspirational thing, which is what mindfulness is all about. Mm-hmm. It's knowing that self, because in that observant mind, that mindfulness state, you know that you've got a bad back because you feel it. You know you've got sore knees because you feel it. You're observing it. You are the observer. So you get yourself in that observant state before you do a reading or before you do a live demo. You then stand up. You know you've made a connection with someone. You then start feeling completely different. You'll get maybe a palpitation in the heart that you didn't have before, or you're going to get a sore elbow, or you're going to get a headache. And you know that is for that other person.
Yeah, and you've mentioned that before, Matthew, even prior to your reading, sometimes a day or more days or hours before your client arrives, that you'll start to manifest some of their illnesses or some of their ailments. And by being mindful, you're able to determine, aren't you, well, it's not me that has a sore arm. This feeling of a sore arm actually belongs to someone else.
Not always, because Chris would tell you that I sometimes have blimmin' awful night's sleep where I'm backwards and forwards out of bed, or I can't sleep, or I've got terrible wind, or I feel like I'm dying of a heart attack. And in those moments when I'm asleep, I forget that it's somebody who could be communicating. And I mean, I did one fairly recently, and I had a real sleepless night, and I had a really bad headache. And all I remember is at about 2 o'clock, I had to get up and watch TV for a couple of hours, and then I drifted back to sleep, and I was back up again. The very next day, I did this reading for this lady, and I started describing this, and she said, that was my father before he died. He always got up at 2 o'clock with a really bad headache. He had to go and watch TV. He had to take down a barrel of water. He would get back into bed, and then within half an hour, he's back up again.
Wow.
So it's...
So you're saying even with a tremendous amount of experience and years behind you, you can still get caught out a little?
Yeah, because you don't... It's you don't expect it 24/7.
No.
And
I guess that also...
You're going to get some rest from them sometime.
And that also kind of lets the listeners know also that being psychic isn't something you can necessarily just switch on and switch off at will.
That's correct.
Even though we'd like to think it is.
That is correct.
We like to think we're in control, don't we, Chet?
That's right. I think because we've got some callers, we're going to have our first music break. So we've got probably about 4.5 minutes for Polly to get a cup of tea, for me to dash and get mine. And I don't know if Tony drinks tea or coffee, but it does give us a little bit of a breather. Is that going to be okay?
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah, that's fine.
Now, this is a song that I only listened to today, but it's the words that are really interesting, because the words are very relevant to what we've been talking about, all about self. So we'll be back in about 4.5 minutes. Oh, okay, we're going to win again. Okay, wrong song. That was the wrong song, everybody. I meant this one. I write my story using all my own ideas. I don't know the ending, but there'll be tears. Conversations with Spirit 2. I'm your host, Matthew James, medium and clairvoyant. I have in the guest seats Sharon Tunbridge, Polly, and I also have Tony Davis. Now, I cocked up a little bit there because I started you in again by Bee Gees, which I was intending playing a little bit later on, but I'll play that as the next song. But Sharon and Tony, you got your cups of tea then?
Oh, yes, thank you.
Yes, I've got one being made for me, so I'm lucky.
No worries. So we're okay. We feel okay. I mean, it's been a quick. I believe we've been on 45 minutes now. It's gone very quickly.
Very quick.
It certainly is flying by and very enjoyable. I'm looking forward to some callers now.
Now I know I want to go on to a subject next, but I'm going to take a caller first. That I was asked on Facebook on the events page by Cheryl. And her question was really about her mum having passed, and her question was, is there a healing process that our spirit goes through after this physical life, and is there any time frame that we could put on that, as I know spirit isn't consumed by time like we humans are? So I think we'll take a call first of all, and then we'll have that as our next discussion point. And doing it this way, it gives you, Polly and Tony, chance to mull that over in your mind for when we actually come back to it. So for now, I'm going to take the first caller, and the first caller is the username Salsa1601. Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Louise, and I'm calling from Kansas.
You're calling from Kansas.
Halloween.
How are you enjoying the show, Louise? It's a little bit different than the other one, but I put
actually,
out.
You know, I'm really enjoying it. It's wee hours of the morning here, so and
yeah.
I was
yeah.
very glad that you're on.
Thanks. I mean, it was. I mean, the other show that we do, which goes out in the mornings and the afternoons in the US, is our Tuesday morning. That's more geared up to you guys. This is really for everybody in the Southern Hemisphere, but it's fantastic to get callers from Kansas. What's your question for us, Louise?
Do you want us to make questions pertaining to your discussion or a psychic question? Or I'm not understanding.
It's entirely up to yourself, Louise. We are geared up for sort of spiritual questions and for discussions, but all three of us are able to do live readings as well.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question on career and employment.
Okay.
Do you see that anytime soon? I've sent out several resumes and had a couple of pre-screenings. And do you see this next job being something of just a job or a career?
The interesting thing was, as you asking me that question, I was reckoning it's nigh on about 9 resumes that you put out.
Okay.
It's a region of about 9, isn't it? You put about 9
yes.
CVs out.
Yes.
And I've got an understanding that there is most definitely going to be one. Now, I'm not saying it's the 8th one that you're going to get, which means I'm aware of is there is going to be one in particular that will outshine the rest. Or you're seen as a candidate that is going to outshine the rest. Have you had any medical or nursing experience?
I do. Traditionally. I did go to nursing school. However, I left in the last couple of classes of seminars because it's
right.
not what I wanted to do. But I've been caretaker for many years, and I'm looking to drastically change, not just in name only, in the way that
it's
we
a, you
treat
see,
our...
It's a pity. I know I've got a grandfather here, and I do believe I'm definitely on your father's side here. It's a pity you didn't finish that nursing because You've created a bit of a cul-de-sac for yourself. If you'd completed that nursing course, you wouldn't have had the problem that you've got now. Is there any way that you can go back into nursing in any degree at all?
No,
there is definitely
I still
options.
Wanted to do nursing, but I did finish a degree in long-term care gerontology administration.
Okay, but that's still kind of care work, isn't it? It's still caring and nursing, isn't it? Because
yes.
What I'm clearly being shown is, and the story is you hold the aces here with something, because you're going to land, or you're going to get yourself involved with something that nobody else wants, which in this day and age is
yes.
rare, because I know 200 people go for one job vacancy.
Yes.
But it's a feeling that what you've got, there's in one of these vacancies that you go for, very few people will go for it.
Yes.
And my understanding is it's within the 3 months. So you've been screened for something. I've got a feeling it's something else that you're going to be screened for.
Okay.
Now, do you know the name Elsie or Elsa or anything of that vibration?
No.
Right. I've got a lady who I believe is on your mum's side who did a part manifestation for me then, and she looked very pale. She looked really pale, and I don't know if she died in her sleep or she died in her bedclothes, but she was very pale. And that lady did a part manifestation. It is. That's what I've been told. So I don't know if there's anybody on your... I'm not necessarily looking for that name, but I'm looking for somebody who had that demeanor just before they passed.
Yes.
She's quite clear that you are well fit and able to actually manage and look after people, because you've done
yes.
it in your life.
Yes.
And there's a little bit of a cynicism saying, well, Louise, why are you ringing this person up in the early hours? You're a little bit like Miss Doubtfire here, only in the words that you're doubting yourself too much. I've got this positive, I have this positive flame around you. I think it's just financial situation, and I just think it's the people around you or the circumstances around you that are making you doubt yourself too much.
Yes.
Because that's the punchline here, you doubt yourself too much.
Do you see me, you know, eventually I want to change the way we do things here in the States and, you know, all over. There's a company here that does go to Australia and New Zealand and all over the globe and teaching people dementia care with the elders and Alzheimer's. But eventually, I also want to change the way we do nutrition with our elders
all
and
I will
disabled.
Say with, all I will say with that thing is you've got to learn to walk before you can run. I do get some degree of, well, strong opposition there.
Okay.
What I want to do is I want to throw this open to either Tony or Sharon to continue the message here.
Okay.
Louise, straight away, I picked up... There's some education. I feel like there's study. You've got to do some form of study to get into this, because I feel like there's a particular field that you want to get into, and I just straight away, I just got, you need to study. There's more study. Does that make sense?
Yes and no.
I
eventually would like to do that, but for what I want to do, I do have the level of education needed.
Yep.
To get my certification.
And I want to touch on something Matthew mentioned as well. Another thing I got straight away was I feel like you're holding yourself back. I feel like there's a lack of confidence. Does that make sense?
Okay. A year ago, I would have said absolutely.
Yeah.
Right now, no.
But what's holding you back? I feel like there's something or someone holding you back.
Well, you know, there is finance, but there is not a person. It's not for lack of confidence. It is a lack of finance.
Yep. Are you caring for someone at the moment?
Yes, I am.
Is there someone you're looking after that's quite ill?
Actually, they have been, but they are... improving drastically.
Okay. So I just feel like that you've been looking after someone or caring for someone, and I just feel like subconsciously that you may be feeling that that's holding you back a little. But if they're getting better, then that means you're moving on too. So.
Yes. Thank you.
No worries.
Polly, have you got? Can you want to add your little bit?
Absolutely. I really like this lady. I
think so. Her energy is phenomenal. She should be on the show as a guest. She's got that kind of voice.
Lovely energy. The only thing I pick about you, my darling, is that you are so harsh on yourself, and you are a perfectionist, aren't you?
Well,
you
yes.
push yourself and never quite feel good enough, and I would really like you to stop that. The other thing I picked up with you, my love, is this crazy desire to create the all-being, all-seeing career ahead of you, and I'd like to bring you back a step and bring back some of the joy in the job that you actually do, which is very valuable. You've got a natural healing vibe. You're never going to escape that. You're going to be a nurse, whether you like it or not, in one way or another, using your natural healing gift. So my words to you would be, look, at the end of the day, you're doing something that your heart is telling you to do, aren't you?
Yeah.
This is what's driving you, your need to heal, your need to reach people and be and make a difference in their life. This is why you have this burning urge to change, because you know you can make a better
system. Which is why when you say natural healing, that kind of goes hand in hand, because that is one of the reasons that I let go of nursing, per se, because traditional nursing does not include alternative, therapies and complementary natural things. And I think that, and there has been many cases where many of our diseases and disorders have been reversed solely by nutrition.
Absolutely.
And
you would know.
Yes. And I think if we did that in our nursing homes and for the people with Alzheimer's, we can reverse so many of these ill people and have them a very good quality of life.
Right, because I'm going to cut in, Louise. The true Reiki healers, and there are real genuine healers out there. They can do miracles, and I mean they're in the shadows, they're in the background, and they do healing, but you never hear about them.
Well, because if you did that, then you would take away from the pharmaceuticals and from the big corporations that control the money in most of the world, being through medical equipment, pharmaceuticals, hospitals, all of those sorts of things. If we were to able to reverse some of these disorders truly by just nutrition alone, let alone healing of Reiki and other sorts of complementary, therapy.
Oh, you're totally onto it.
I mean, Louise, let's sum it up. The pharmaceutical companies, their tablets try and treat the effect, whereas true Reiki and true healing works on the cause, which is the etheric body, which is the light body. They're changing the frequency or realigning the frequency of a light body where the problem is.
Yes.
And they don't want people to know it works.
Absolutely. My husband, for example, who I'm caring for, was told almost 4 weeks ago, he's in the fourth stage of his disease, and that he would probably only be alive another 3 to 6 weeks because he was so ill. He was due to have a major heart attack in the next 3 to 6 weeks and probably would not survive it, and that there was nothing they could do. And, had I gone to them instead of going to the hospital, they could have probably done more. So what that tells me is you're so greedy, and because you're being paid less, not being the primary doctor, you choose not to help them. And that made me furious. So I got on and started doing my own research, because I know how to do that, and I do have my basic nursing background and knowledge, and changed his diet drastically. In 2 weeks, his blood pressure went, and I don't know if you know anything about blood pressure, from 225 over 115 down to 128 over 68 consistently.
Wow.
Well,
I've taken six of his medications in 4 weeks. He is down 22 pounds and has enough energy to do some house chores where he couldn't even get out of bed. We've gone from round-the-clock pain meds to one medication a day. So
if I could cut in, if that's okay, and
that's
finish
fine.
My little delivery.
Yeah.
Because I have got something I really need to say to you, Louise. Okay. In terms of your career, can I ask you to do this? Can I ask you to split it in two? One side of you only needs to be aware that a career is nothing more than fundraising. That's
Absolutely.
Your mission. You need to raise some funds so that you can buy chocolate.
Absolutely.
So take all this pain out of it. Take all this panic and I must achieve and focus on that very small part of fundraising, getting your salary. You can then utilize the other side, which is where you're going to make a difference and use that passion
Absolutely.
And your heart
Absolutely.
To propel you. But I really need you to stop doing the panic dance, if that's okay, and just go with the flow. It's fundraising. Make
okay.
a little effort each day. You will be rewarded. And the last thing I'd like to say to you, because you're very passionate about this health industry.
Yes, I'm sorry.
fabulous. No, I think it's wonderful.
It's fabulous. It's music to my ears.
Exactly. And I'd like to recommend to you, and I think you'll get a lot of value from him, there's a lovely American chap you may have heard of, Dr. Robert Morse.
No, I don't know of him.
Well, you are going to Google Dr. Robert Morse, and you will love his material. You two should get together. You'll really get inspired. So, yeah, I hope that's been helpful to you.
It has. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, Louise. It's been awesome talking to you.
Thank you.
Enjoy your day.
And you as well.
Thank you. Okay, guys, that question that we were posed on Facebook earlier about is there a healing process that our spirit goes through after this physical life, and is there any time frame? What are your thoughts on that before I say my bit? What's your theory on the healing process? That when, obviously, what Cheryl's asking is obviously when you pass, you're going to pass with an ailment or a condition. How does your spirit get rid of that condition, and how long does it take? I think that's what she's actually trying to ask.
Yeah, no, I can understand. Do you know what, Matthew? I haven't given it a great deal of thought. My own personal feeling about my own passing, if you like.
Yeah.
And I will go on, you know, on that whole basis that we are everlasting souls, that we're continuously growing and that we're going through the different planes depending on lessons learned. I think that's, you know, kind of a universal assumption.
Yeah.
Me, for example, I'm pretty sure I'm coming back as a rock or a fairly big one, because I do think it's going to take a couple of billion years for me to actually get it.
I think I'm going to be a cat so I can curl up and I can get looked after. I think I'm going to come back as a cat.
But that's only going to be for a few years, Matt. You're going to have to come back again.
I'll come back as another cat then.
But in terms of what happens to the physical body once it's passed, my gut feeling would be that you would take the same ailments over and maybe learn how to deal with them, maybe learn why you have them and try and get the lesson out of that. I'll have to put it back in your expert hand.
And I'm just interested in everybody else's take, because I don't want to steal the show. I'll put my point across, but everybody else's is equally valid. What do you think, Tony? What's your answer? What's your experience?
To be honest, I've never really thought of it. Like as I said to you before we went on air, I never heard of the term nursing bay until I attended your workshop here in Brisbane back in March. So, but when I think about it, when we do pass, we obviously would, our spirit, I guess, or our soul would obviously go through some sort of healing process. But yeah, I don't really have any, at this stage, I don't really have any theories or I hadn't really thought of it. So, I'll let you answer it.
Yeah.
Answer that one,
I mean, just for people who are listening and who are interested in this discussion, my take basically is this, that to exist on planet Earth in a three-dimensional world on this frequency, we have the physical body that we know. Now, our soul is attached to many different frequencies. I firmly believe that on each of those frequencies, whether that they are higher or equal to the frequency that we are as a human being, the soul has to experience that plane of existence in a physical body. Now, if it's beyond our sensory range of our limited five senses, that entity will appear to us as light because that's all we perceive. But to that entity, I firmly believe that the existence on that realm is very much like being in a physical body on a vibration. So my understanding is that with a body, the last body, call it the soul body, that records everything that we experience on the earth plane, our every thought, our every deed, our every action, our every illness. So when we pass from this plane, i.e. the soul seed is released from the heart area and we go on to that other frequency, I believe we venture initially onto that next frequency in the perfect replica of the human body, the light body. So if you died of a heart attack or you had a car accident or you broke your neck or you had a brain tumor, you will be experiencing those conditions as soon as you pass. Now, going on from there, what I had an experience when my mum died, that I was over here in New Zealand. I was in Australia. My mum was in hospital in the UK. And I did a visualization. And I could see, or I imagined or perceived, the people who were with my mum in that hospital room. I then saw my mum in another hospital room opening her eyes, and her mum, her dad, her sister, her cousin, my dad was there. They were all there in a hospital bed, and there was a look of surprise, like she's saying, "What are you guys doing here?" And it explained to me that she'd gone from the hospital surroundings on the earth plane to the equal, identical hospital surroundings in spirit, and those who had passed over on the other side were around her hospital bed while she convalesced. And this sort of is the nursing bay that I sort of perceive, which all started probably about 20 years ago, where I had a client, they wanted to know how the mum was, the mum had just died. And I went, "Well, look, I can't necessarily speak to your mum because she's just passed." I got the woman's name, I got a date of birth, I got a vibration, I started tuning in, and I suddenly found myself with a very burly, matron, sister-like entity barring my way, and I could see a hospital bed. And in the hospital bed, I started describing this woman, what she died of, what she looked like, the people that were around her in this hospital bed. The woman looked at me and said, "That's my mum, that's my dad, that's my grandfather, that's my sister," or whatever. And I suddenly realized what I was perceiving was the nursing bay. So my comprehension is that we go over to a hospital or a nursing bay condition when we first pass. I don't know if that answers the question, but that's my understanding of it.
I know you answered this part of the question off air earlier, Matt, but just for the listeners, what's your theory on time periods that spirit can be in the nursing bay for?
Well, from personal experience of souls coming back, I've had souls who have skipped the nursing bay altogether. I mean, I know I have a good friend in spirit, Peter Patrick. He was a very advanced soul, and all I know is he skipped the nursing bay completely. He didn't bother with the nursing bay. And he came back probably about an hour after he passed, and then he bugged me probably for around, apparently there's no sound. Apparently we've got no sound.
Oh.
It's all right. It'll still be recording because it says the stream left. It's still on air, so it'll probably come back. But he came back almost instantaneously. I've had people who it's taken 30 years for them to come back. I've communicated with people a year, 4 years, 5 years. I suppose it takes as long as it takes. We are all individuals here. We've got personalities here. We have personalities over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can only go from personal experience with, persons that have immediately passed. I can vividly, I remember the passing of my grandmother, for example. And I was terribly upset to get the news, as you would be. And during this time, my grandfather, who passed the year before, almost a year to the day, actually appeared to me, beautiful meadow, beautiful oak tree, tons of daffodils, which meant nothing to me at that time. And I since found, by talking to my aunt, that daffodils were his time. But during my very sad moment where I'm crying and being very distressed, my granddad said, "Oi, what's the matter with you?" And I said, "Well, what do you think? Nan's just passed away." And he said, "Well, don't worry about her." And then all of a sudden showed me the vision of her walking up the path towards him. She spotted him and she started, as a good English woman can, as you will know, Matt.
Yeah.
Started berating him for dying, basically. "How dare you leave me? How could you? I'm really cross. I'm so angry. What do you think you're playing at?" And as they walked off into the distance together, he turned over his shoulder. He said, see what I mean? Don't cry for her. She don't even know she's bleeding dead yet."
That's a very valid point.
It cheered me up, though.
Yeah.
That's they went.
A very valid point, Sharon, that I was going to raise, that how do you know you've passed? And
well,
this can explain why you've got the earthbound spirits who, if it is, it sort of explains if when they pass, it's an identical vibration, or it looks like it's an identical copy of where they've just come from. If people say have died in their sleep or they've had a heart attack or and they suddenly open their eyes again and it's no different, how do they know they've passed?
Well, this particular vision, which, as you know, as a psychic, this was very real. It was clear as day, and I actually healed immediately. So I was very blessed at that time, from the trauma to the happy tears. But as I watched my grandmother spotting him and saw her face very clearly and heard her words, she had no idea she had gone. And if she had, she was still very cross and grumpy. During the course of her illness, towards the very end, she was having regular conversations with him, and he was with her in the room a lot. And I guess the fact that she told her doctor a month before she died, because she tried terribly hard to die, and I'll tell you a story about that another time, but she tried very, very hard to pass over. She was quite cross that she couldn't go. But she did tell her doctor, "Here's your Christmas present in October, because I shan't be here." And sure enough, she died a couple of weeks later. So, yeah, I don't think she knew that she'd passed, but I think she was jolly happy to see him again and berate him, as a good English woman would.
But the thing is that my understanding is the experience can be different for each person because we're individuals and we perceive things different. So if somebody
and different levels of spirituality, perhaps, Matthew.
Most definitely. If somebody is tied into the hellfire story that they're going to go to the pits of hell when they die, they might have that reality when they go over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, you're basically going to be aware. You're carrying all your thoughts, all your philosophies, everything that you've experienced on the earth plane goes with you when you first pass.
Which brings us back to that importance of meditation, clearing the mind, knowing self.
Exactly, exactly. And on that note, we shall have another music break. We'll be back in 4 minutes. And this one I'm actually going to dedicate to Chris, my wife. It's a Bee Gees song.
Couldn't be what everybody needs. Shouldn't let you
You're listening to Conversations with Spirit 2. I'm your host, Matthew James, clairvoyant and medium. This is Mike Spirit FM. We have two brilliant guests this evening joining the discussions. We have Polly, Karen Tunbridge, and we have Tony Davis. Anybody who wishes to actually call in and take part in the discussions, there is a guest call-in number. It's area code 760-283-4611. If you're in the United States, though, I think people in Australia can ring that number. I don't know if it's a toll-free number at all. Or you can press the Skype button on the actual radio page and follow the instructions and come through on Skype. And you'd be more than welcome to take part in the conversations this evening. Now, we have another caller. We've got area code 360. What's your name, please?
Hi, my name is Laurie.
Hi, Laurie. And where are you calling from?
Washington State.
Okay, and how can we help you? It'll be your morning. How can we help you this morning?
Well, I'm wondering about my friend Bill. What's going on with him?
Okay, Sharon, I know you work brilliantly on voice vibration, and I know that's your forte because you do a lot of phone readings. I mean, you work on a phone line like seven days a week. So I'm going to pass it over to Sharon initially.
Yeah. Hi, Laurie.
Hi,
Sharon. And you're interested in your friend Bill. Is Bill as in terms of a relationship or a friend?
A relationship, but not committed.
Okay. First thing, as you said the name Bill, I kind of got a bit of a distressed feeling around him. Now, that could be stress itself, but he feels a little bit more anxious and a bit more sort of grumpy. Would that be right? Has he had quite a distressed feeling lately? He doesn't seem himself, does he?
I'm not sure. But
not
he hasn't
sure,
been
so you're not getting a lot of contact with him at the moment.
Right, and he hasn't been answering the phone for 2 days, so
right.
What's going on?
Well, that would go in with distressed. Let me just have a moment on that, Bill. Let's see if we can get hold of Bill. Definitely don't feel that he is himself at the moment. I don't think you need to worry about another woman or anything else. I think this is one of his little dark spots that he's crept into. He's got an element of sulkiness there that would indicate maybe he had a bit of a falling out, but it doesn't seem to have a rhyme or a reason. This was kind of sudden, wasn't it?
What was that again?
He doesn't, this breakdown in communication seems to have no rhyme or reason. It seems quite sudden.
Right.
I can't pick up a reason for it. It's not like a massive row. It just seems to stop quite abruptly.
Right.
Are you resonating with that? Is that how you're feeling about this at the moment?
Yes.
Yeah, because you're quite a long way away, and it's a little bit more tricky over these sort of airways. I find I get more interference, but I'll keep trying for you. I guess your direct question then is going to be, when's he going to come right? When is he going to start being himself, and when will he communicate with you?
Yeah, he's supposed to be... Well, he moved to Colorado, which is quite a ways from Washington State, and he's supposed to come back to pick up some of his things on, like, he should be arriving around the 13th or so, but then he tells me he just wants to spend one day with me and go back, but I don't think that's the truth.
Okay. In terms of further contact, I tell you, he will calm down. This distress feeling, I mean, you've just told us that he's moved. He's not going to be feeling, you know, as confident as he did before. He's got a lot of inner turmoil. He's got a lot of issues. And if you're very fair, Laurie, you know that he's a little damaged as well. But he's a nice guy. He has some good qualities. I think this is a man who's trying to find himself. I don't think he's avoiding you. I don't feel that he's rejecting you. I feel that he's trying to protect himself at the moment. He's trying to find himself. And I think if you give him some time and don't take it on board as a rejection of you and don't start feeling bad about it, but simply give him a little time to find his relaxed state again, I feel that this will open up the communication line. Now, this trip that he's having back for one day, I do feel that it will be quite a fast trip. But again, it's not related to not wanting to spend time with you. This is him panicking and being very stressed and trying to do too much at the same time. That's what I'm picking there. I think over time, the distance is going to be an issue for you. But I do feel that you will have your answers from him. And I feel that you will start to get a more even and open communication with him. But you also remember, you know, with this big move that he's made, mm-hmm. it's hard for him to process how to work in friendship and relationship at this time. Does that all make sense?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Tony, what were you picking up, mate? What are you picking up for our guest, Laurie?
Laurie, I feel a situation between the two of you, like a nothing major, but like there was a slight argument. Would that be the case?
Yeah, I was upset when he said he only, you know, spend a night and then he's got to go, you know, and I'm like, well, you're traveling all that way and you're only gonna spend one night. I just can't agree with that. I mean, you know,
because the word doesn't seem rational. The word that came to me straight away was truth. So I don't know, and it was truth about a situation. So I don't know if there was a situation that you spoke about prior to this, or whether it's regarding to this particular situation. But I just feel that it's almost like you're both not being true to yourselves in regards to the entire situation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, sweetie, you're missing him, aren't you?
Yeah.
See, I've got him in very much in your plans, Laurie, but I get it as a very complicated situation.
Mm.
I mean, I clearly see that he's got to let go from either his past or from someone else. I see some sort of legal worry or legal pressure around him. Even if it's a financial thing, there's something actually worrying him. He's concerned about the move that he's made. He's concerned about how it's all going to work out. But I keep getting that he's in you're in his plans and you're in his ideas. It's all about time and the timing, and it's a case of, maybe it happened a little bit too quickly for him, or it's all these things I get as a pressure that is actually going on in his mind at this moment in time. I'm not ruling out something long term, but I think you've got to play that difficult game. You've got to play patience. You've got to be patient with this guy.
Give him time.
Do you think that he'll move back here or he'll stay in Colorado?
I don't think he's settled where he is, and that's my honest truth. I don't think he's settled where he is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the feeling. That's the feeling that I've got here. He seems very unsettled, and that seems to be his problem. He's not settling in.
But he does need the time to know his mind. He needs that time to experiment, really, with where he is at the moment, what he's missing, and what to do next. Laurie, I don't think you need to be worrying. I think you should be looking forward to seeing him, looking forward to that one day that you're going to spend with him, and actually enjoy it. Make it an enjoyable experience, and he's going to want to come back, honey.
Okay.
No more pressure, and don't beat yourself up.
Okay, Laurie, I hope we've been able to help you this morning.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you all. Thank you very much.
No problem. Now, Laura, you can actually get a copy of your reading by waiting until the show goes off air. And you can either do a download onto your computer directly, or you can just keep this link. You can play your reading back if you so wish.
Yes, I'll do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
Enjoy the rest of your day, Laurie.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to keep listening if I could.
that's a pleasure.
We love you too.
Yeah.
And chin up, girl. You'll be okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thanks, Laurie.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, guys, what's the difference between premonition and prediction? That's our next discussion point. What's the difference between premonition and prediction?
Well, for me, a premonition...
Ooh, what happened then?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, we've got live radio. We've got things in the system. Sorry, Tony, you still there?
Yep.
As you were
saying. From what I understand, premonition. You see a premonition. You have a clear vision of what's going to happen, and a prediction is. I feel a prediction comes from a thought process. So I feel prediction is more to do with thought. I mean, I guess you could get a prediction from spirit as well, but I feel premonitions are more something that, you know, if you're clairvoyant, I feel that if you're seeing things that are going to happen in the future, that's a premonition for me.
What's your take? Sharon, because the beautiful thing is we've got three different people here who do things differently. We've got one person in Auckland, we've got one in Canberra, and we've got one in Brisbane, and we're all here basically putting our own viewpoints together. So, Polly, what's your take? Because you were the one that actually asked this question. So
I know, but I didn't think I'd have to give up to it, but I will. Prediction. To me, a prediction is when you are physically tuning in and you're looking for others and you're getting the assistance from spirit and making forward predictions. So it's kind of like a conscious thing where you're out there looking. Premonition for me is one of those sudden, urgent matters coming in from spirit that just knock you off your feet. Very clear vision, doesn't last for long, but you know, like a snapshot of what is going to happen. And I guess the premonitions I would also maybe put more in the category of maybe more unpleasant things, disasters, earthquakes, that kind of thing.
That
would be my take. What's yours?
Yeah, the interesting thing is that I know over the years so many people, the first thing they get the negative premonitions. They have the dream of the earthquake or the dream of the plane crash. Or the bus crash, or the friend getting killed in a car accident. And I've often wondered, why is it you get the negative first? Because I mean, the premonition is that thing where you wake up in the night in a cold sweat, and you think, oh my God, there's going to be a car accident tomorrow.
Yeah, spirit has been quite urgent to make sure you get that information.
Because I can hit this from a personal angle, and I remember this is many moons ago. I was still at school. I was in the UK fifth year, and I used to bike everywhere, and I used to do sports the sports field. Instead of doing sports, I used to go on bike rides, and it was a Tuesday night. And in the early hours, I'm having this dream, and in this dream, I've got a triangular cut on my left knee, just back from my kneecap, and I'm looking in and I'm seeing this nurse stitching it all up. And I woke up in the morning and I thought, I'm going to have a bike accident today. And I remember saying to my parents, I'm going to have a bike accident today. And I remember my mum and dad saying, well, don't be stupid. You'll be okay. Everything will be fine. I rode to school. I was absolutely fine. It was during the sports hour. I'm riding along on the road, and in those days I used I had my bicycle clips on, and I used to have them really tight. And my lamp bracket, I used to have one of these bolted lamp brackets. And during the ride, the actual lamp bracket came loose, and it cut through all the spokes of the front wheel. And because I was in my bicycle clips, the bike, the back end of the bike went over, and I ended up on the road in front of a car. But the interesting thing was, guess where the spokes went through?
In the place that you knew they would.
Yeah, which was through the kneecap, right exactly where I saw it. Ouch. About an hour later, I'm in an A&E with the nurse that I'd seen in the dream, closing a triangular cut off above my knee. I could see right into my knee joint, just like in the dream. Now, that's a premonition.
Mm. Yeah. And more of the story, pay attention next time, going back to your
that,
meditation.
That, again, is the moral of the story. If it's, if it's something that's in your personal life, avoid. If you're in a premonition in your personal life, I believe it's either your higher self or a member of spirit communicating with you and warning you.
Yes. And again, going on that my take, more on the, let's call it the disaster, urgent messages that need to come through. I mean, I'm often at the beginning of the year, I'll sit down just for a little fun and run a series of worldwide predictions. And I was quite surprised with a very clear one that came through, must have been last year or whatever the year before, which was American cruise liner hits rocks off Gibraltar and sinks. And of course, I remember at the time thinking, well, that's not going to happen, but it did. It was just a little bit further on than Gibraltar though, wasn't it? Isn't it Malta?
Yeah.
That one. But I did see that one very, very clearly, but I would call that a prediction because I was searching for some fun stuff to play with for the rest of the year, I guess, you know. It's always nice to hone your skills and make sure that you have a little validation just for yourself.
That's right. I mean,
they're my private predictions, by the way.
I think a prediction is when you purposely say such and such an event is going to happen on such and such a day to such and such a person.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think it's preempted. It's something that you personally have to plan and provide that information. You're using your clairvoyance and you're using all your psychic abilities.
Yeah.
But isn't that what clairvoyance is? Isn't that what people come to your table for when they want to know about the future? You make a prediction.
Absolutely. Same thing. I think sitting down and making, your own purpose. I find those ones.
You're breaking up.
Tiny
we
bit.
Might just be losing Sharon because I know there's a bit of a poor connection here.
More threat.
Are you still there, Tony? As well, are your connection okay?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah. So I mean, do you remember? Can you remember? There's a couple of American ladies who they just make. Yeah, we just had a dropout. Then we've obviously just had a bit of a poor connection. So I'm just bringing our guest back in. So whilst I do that, I shall play the next piece of music, which is a new one by Aerosmith. We'll be back shortly. You're listening to Conversations with Spirit 2 here on Mike Spirit FM. I'm your host, Matthew James. I'm a clairvoyant medium, or a medium clairvoyant even, a psychic. A few things. I have Polly in the studio, and I have Tony Davis. We had to take a bit of an impromptu music break there because we did actually get kicked off the show for a few moments, and I just kept my cool and brought us back on. So, Sharon, are you still there? Sharon?
Hello, I'm here.
I thought we'd lost you again. I was panicking then.
No, I had a bit of a technical breakdown.
Yeah, we did. Tony in Brisbane, are you still there?
I'm still here.
From time to time, this happens on live radio, everyone, and it's a case of taking a deep breath and bringing yourself back into the show. So we were talking about premonitions and predictions. What I was trying to get over was, and I can't remember the names, there's a couple of twins in Australia who I think they make probably about 20, 30 predictions a week, and most of them actually come true. And I can't remember the name of the twins, but... Are you familiar with them, Sharon? Have you come across them? I can't remember what the name is.
Certainly not, but that's an incredibly high strike rate.
I know there are a couple of sisters who they're on YouTube and they're on Facebook, but I can't remember the names. Now, I'll check the chat room because I'm sure someone will put the names in there. But what's interesting is they get some awesome predictions and... I actually think they do predictions and they do premonitions.
Wow. Very, very talented ladies then.
Oh, they certainly are. And I just wish I could remember what the names were, but I can't. It's just something that had come to mind. And we've sort of hit on most of the subjects we wanted to talk about this evening. Oh, it's the Jameson twins. There you go. Thank you, Chris Henderson. Thank you, my lovely wife. It's the USA, not Australia. I thought I said they were in the US. It's the Jameson twins.
Oh, wow. I shall definitely be Googling and having a look.
They make a lot of
predictions. I think they get them in dream state.
Twins. Fascinating.
It is really worth checking out. I mean, it boils down to the next question. As twins, are you one soul in two bodies?
Oh, yes. That's going into strange territory, isn't it? I mean,
that's right.
Gosh, the research that have been done on twins, they definitely have an incredible telepathic connection that's been proven, hasn't it?
That's right. We're sort of treading water here because when we actually went off air, we lost our callers and I'd got quite a few actually in line. And I know we've got about 15 minutes. Well, we've got about 10 minutes of actual talking to callers left. So if anyone wants to actually call in and get straight live on the show, there's no actual queue at the moment. We did have a queue before. Anyone who wants to actually Skype in and actually have a discussion with us, you've probably got about in the next 5 minutes before we start actually wrapping the show up. But, I mean, the discussions that we've been having this evening are pretty going to be pretty typical of what Conversations with Spirit 2 is all about. And I know, Sharon, you're the one that's got quite a few ideas. I'm just going to pull straight from your mind to discuss another subject. What do we talk about?
Well, do you know what I'm really drawn to talk about? I would love to leave the listeners with a little exercise to do tonight. And I think a little exercise, starting their journey into their meditation. Now, we all know, I mean, often talk to people about about meditation, and the stock standard are, I don't have time. And my answer to that is, well, you do have time to breathe. If you have time to breathe, it means you're alive. And if you're alive, you should be meditating because your brain needs a mental clearance, just like your computer needs a defrag every now and again. And it would be lovely if the readers this evening, callers this evening could maybe go to bed tonight and just practice a little of that clearing of the mind. And I'm guessing, Matthew, you would have a little technique for them too. work with, and maybe they could call us next week and tell us how they got on. And it's not easy keeping that monkey mind quiet. It takes years of practice, but it's worth learning today.
I mean, the easiest technique of all really is, it's almost a sensory deprivation. What you actually do when you're lying in bed, the first thing that you do, you let that mind chatter loose. You let your mind chatter. You let it talk. You let your mind worry about the bills to pay, or you worry about the job situation. You let it loose. But what you do, you go from the mind chatter where you're taking part, or it's your mind, you get yourself into a point where you're observing those thoughts.
So you're listening to it.
You listen to the thoughts. That's right. You disconnect from the thoughts.
Yeah, noticing the thoughts, listening, and knowing it's okay.
What
natural
you
state.
Then do is you then focus on, say, your breathing, or you put your finger on your pulse and you feel your heartbeat, and you completely focus on that. I mean, that's one way of doing it. Or another way that I actually tend to do it is, I'll give myself a mantra word or a mantra number. I mean, I used a number sequence about two nights ago, and I actually used 12, 13, 14. And all I thought about and all I observed was 12, 13, 14. Another one that you can use is your own personal name. So for me, obviously, it's Matthew James. What you do is you say it as a mantra, and you actually feel the vibration of that word. So whilst you're lying in bed, you say you use your name, or you use a number, or you use the prescribed whatever you want to use, whether it's a sentence, whether it's a word, mm-hmm. and you use the vibration of that word. And all you do is you're focusing on having that as a mantra, saying that over and over and over again in your mind, and you fix on it, and everything else then switches off.
It does, and then you start to get that sort of spiral opening effect, don't you?
You actually start to spin. You actually feel your physical body actually start spinning, and it's a little bit like being swung round. You either go, I tend to go in an anti-clockwise direction, and you start spinning, and that's the point. That's the point of this switch over from one dimension to the other. That's where dream control comes in.
Absolutely. And then that intense peacefulness
is incredible.
And addictive.
It becomes very addictive.
It's a drug. And on the physical side of things, your brain is then actually learning this technique. Your brain is making these little pathways, and you find over the years, it does take a few years, we know, over the years you can get into that state very, very quickly because your brain is trained.
Well, it's what I actually use in the boot camps that I do. It's a trigger word. So you get yourself into a state of mind where you're relaxed, or you're not thinking of anything, or you're not focusing on anything at all. You're almost in that sleep state. You give yourself a trigger word at that moment. Any word that you can remember, or a number sequence, what you make sure of is that you remember that that trigger word or number. As soon as you use that as a mantra, you've programmed your mind, you program your brain to switch on into that altered state.
Into that altered state, which is a beautiful state to be in. And definitely not something to be stressed about. I think quite often people try very, very hard to be in a meditative state, and you can't force it. You have to allow it to happen.
I'm going to actually impart one of my own mantras here. And all this mantra will do is put you in what they call the Garden of Remembrance, or it will put you into an astral plane state where you can actually communicate with people, or you can sit in a completely relaxed state. But the actual word is Naomna. Now, to spell it, it's N-A, I'm trying to remember, Nay, which is N-A-Y-U-M-N-A-H. And it's a mantra that you vibrate, and it's Nayumna, and you say it over again, so it's Nayumna, 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 and it becomes a vibration that's in your mind. It was something that I got given probably about 30 years ago. I didn't realize at the time what it was. It was something that I'd actually done in some automatic writing, and this word kept on repeating itself in this writing, and it was describing this fantastic garden, and you can imagine the stream with the waterfall with the fantastic hills in the background and the bird song. And I actually, in a meditative state, started using the word Nayumna, and I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it's a vibration. It's a vibration of the Nayumna or Nayumna, and I say it over and over again. You start getting this idea of the tranquility and the peacefulness of being in the outdoors by using that vibration. You probably won't happen the first time you try it, but if you persist with it and you keep trying it and keep trying it, I know from previous students and people that I've given it to in the past, you get that response of, I'm really stressed out at the moment, or I'm having a problem with such and such. Is there anything that you can help me with? Yeah. Use the word Nayumna in your everyday life. Think I'm potty, but they then will use that mantra in their everyday, and they'll mm-hmm. say, I was really calm yesterday, thanks to you.
Well, so it's a word that's hooking into a calming frequency then.
Yeah, and now I don't know if it's Native American. I don't know if it's Egyptian. I don't know if it's Hindu. I don't even know. It could be interplanetary for all I know, but all I know is that vibration works.
It works. Oh, well, thank you for sharing that. I'm certainly going to give that one a run.
Yeah, so anyone who's interested, it's Nayumnah. I know it's made up of a few syllables like nay and and ah. There is a lot of vowel sound in it, and it is a case of you can either verbally chant it or you chant it in the back of your mind. But I can guarantee that once you get past that state of feeling rather silly saying it out loud or in your mind, which does happen with repetitive mantras, you'll get to a point where you go, hang on a minute, I'm feeling really good about this.
Oh, absolutely love it. I mean, just looking, sounding the word in my mind, I can see that would be a very valuable tool.
I mean, it's at the same, and it's same frequency. I mean, it is a frequency. And I mean, just to stress in the last few minutes we've got, everything about psychic, everything about being human, everything about being spirit is all about frequencies and different dimensions. And it's all made up of thoughts, whether it's cosmic thoughts or it's our own thoughts. And it's all about, because what do we want to talk about next time, Polly? I want to deal with the law of attraction and the law of abundance. I know it's a very popularized subject, but I know where we're going with our discussions, and I think next time we're going to talk about abundance and attraction and the laws. Do they work? Do they exist? Is it all about frequencies?
Couldn't agree more. And it's been a really lovely show this evening. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Are you coming back, Sharon? Are you coming back on next week?
Absolutely.
Tony, it wasn't as nerve-wracking as you thought it would be, is it?
No, I was a little bit quiet, but...
Well, you couldn't get a word in edgeways with palms. There's an Essex girl and there's somebody from Blackpool here. We are renowned for being chatterboxes, so...
No, but yeah. I enjoyed it. It was very good. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure, and I'm hoping that you'll come back on at a later date.
Definitely. I'll definitely come back.
Because it's been awesome having you on. And thank you for the readings that you did. I know they were impromptu, but thank you so much for the readings that you did.
And how are you contactable, Tony?
I don't have a website as such. I'm currently working on that. But if people want to, I do have a Facebook page. It's quite simply Tony Davis. That's TonyDavis, Psychic Medium. They can like my page on Facebook and contact me through there.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Tony. And obviously, I know, Sharon, you've not got a web presence yet. But if anyone wants a reading with Sharon Tunbridge, with Polly, then get hold of me, MatthewJamesMedium@gmail.com, or on my public figure page on Facebook, which is MJ Medium, and just specify that you want me to get hold of Sharon for you, and we'll organise something. Or alternatively, if you want a reading with myself, or anyone wants an extended reading with me, I've got a web page, which is www.MatthewJamesMedium.com. I can be contacted there for readings. I do my intensive mediumship training as well. I do one-to-one sessions here in Canberra. I do them via Skype as well. So don't let distance be a problem. I do distance is no object. I can do them on a Skype connection. So until next week. Now, I do believe, and I know that she's going to be available. We will probably be having Nikki Stewart back again next week, because Nikki was on last week's show. I'm hoping that Nikki will come back on next week, because I know she's the love guru. She's described about dealing with love and relationships, but I do know she knows a hell of a lot about the law of attraction and the law of abundance. So she would be the ideal candidate to get back on the show. So until
Excellent subject. And I guess if any listeners have burning questions, they could email those to you or Facebook them, and we can try and get them answered.
Most definitely. MatthewJamesMedium@gmail.com. So until next week, we will go out with a Med Goodall track called The Last River, which is quite meditative. You've got maybe 4 minutes, people, to actually try the Nayumna vibration. Speak to you again next week.